This is Scott Verguin at KSOW Radio in Cottage Grove, Oregon. We have on the line Jack Gilroy, who is working with the St. Patrick's IV support team in Binghamton, New York. Hello, Jack.
How you doing?
Very good. I believe that this issue, the St. Patrick IV, the trial is starting soon, if it hasn't already started.
The trial started this morning,
okay.
In the sense that jurors are being selected. And
okay.
We don't know how long that process is going to take place.
Okay, well, if you don't mind, let's start from the beginning and assume that the folks out here basically don't know anything about it. And I vaguely know some stuff about it, but to tell you the truth, I was reminded of it by Jimmy Massey, who is one of the folks, the Iraq veteran against the war, who's going to be testifying up at your tribunal this week.
Right.
He reminded me of it, and that's what got me to give you folks a call. So start from the beginning. What's going on with the St. Patrick's IV?
Well, sure. Basically, the four people are members of the Ithaca, New York Catholic Worker team, and you have the names of these people, but two are sisters, Teresa Grady and Claire Grady, and Peter DeMott, and the fourth individual is Danny Burns.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 days before the war began, which was March 17th, 2003, which happened to be St. Patrick's Day, the four individuals took vials, small vials of their own blood, went into a recruiting station, a military, Marine and Army recruiting station in Lansing, New York, which is really part of Ithaca itself,
mm-hmm.
and carefully poured their blood over the walls, the vestibule of the military establishment, telling them the people in charge that they were coming, they were informed beforehand, and they prayed, and they knelt, and they were attempting to say, stop, you know, stop the war before it starts, because a terrible bloodshed would occur, much, much greater than a few vials of their own blood, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know now, of course, that they were correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, a powerful statement, and obviously one that's reminiscent of, for those of us who were there, remember the Vietnam era. It's been an effective civil disobedience tool for quite some time now. So so what was the response? What was the official response?
Well, the initial response was that they should go on trial, state trial. They were arrested, of course. They were put in jail. And then the trial came up in March of 2004. And it was a fairly long trial. And the judge did allow them to explain the reasons why they did what they did.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bit different from the situation today with the federal government. But in that particular case, after almost 2 weeks of trial, a vote took place, and there were 9 individuals calling for acquittal, 9 out of 12.
Mm.
So it was a hung jury. And the prosecutor, however, decided he would turn the case over to the federal government. And instead of just trespassing and disrupting destroying or injuring, and whatever you might say, spilling some blood would be on some carpet and floor, another charge was added by the federal government, and that is of conspiracy. So the charge of conspiracy is what makes this pretty unique. It's really the only federal trial against war dissidents in this most recent war against the Iraqi people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, as I say, it started today, and we're in our office here just about a block away, and there are people and speakers in front of the courthouse as I speak.
Well, I did look at the website before I called you, and I noticed that it looks like, at this point anyway, the judge in the case is not going to allow testimony in terms of the reasons why, you know, bringing in the what's going on with the Iraq war and so on.
Right, right. They will not be able to use the Nuremberg principles, any sort of necessity defense. There will be, however, we don't know how it's going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
They have an excellent lawyer, Bill Quigley, professor from the University of Loyola in New Orleans, who obviously is out of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Planned to be out of there anyway, but he's now with the people here in Binghamton, and I think that they will really be working on jury nullification more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if listeners are familiar with jury nullification, but it is a basic right of people in this country to use their own conscience and use their conscience above whatever law seems to be in place at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they they look upon the spilling of thousands of gallons of blood by the U.S. federal government as a very major crime
mm-hmm.
Compared to the sprinkling of blood to call off that very crime that that has been committed.
Okay, well, explain to me more than how, I guess, how the relation to jury nullification, what the connection is, or what the maybe more precise
well, the
definition
connection,
is.
Is that, you know, during the Vietnam period that you mentioned, mm-hmm. There was a very important trial in Camden, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
28 individuals were charged. One of the 28 happened to be a FBI informer. But anyway, it went on trial, and it was a pretty amazing trial because it lasted for weeks and weeks. And when it was summed up, the 12 jurors were convinced that the most important part of the legal system was the ability of individuals to use their own conscience rather than to look at some sort of misguided law
mm-hmm.
or law that was much inferior to the right to decide in one person's own mind the guilt or the innocence. And they voted that they were innocent. They were acquitted.
Right.
So, you know, jury nullification is something that's been, you know, part of the American process for years, but it's been sort of a great secret of the United States judicial process, where the judges will not usually, to our best knowledge, will not instruct jurors that they have this special right, and that is to reject law because of a greater good. And this is what we hope that will happen in this case, that the greater good will be that this was a warning, this was a signal
mm-hmm.
of a great crime to be committed, and they were calling out to stop.
Right. Well, very good. I've also heard, maybe you know about this, that most of us don't understand. I've actually been on a couple of juries myself for minor things, but that actually the jurors have the right to ask their own questions.
Yes.
Yes, and that obviously most people would be totally intimidated out of that. well, let's hope that given that it looks like the judge is not going to allow a full defense.
No,
that,
no. It doesn't appear that way right now.
Okay.
And we're very, you know, the four individuals are very bright people
mm-hmm.
With a true sense of justice,
mm-hmm.
and they will go in there without having a lawyer, you know, speak for them because
mm-hmm.
they feel that they know what the truth is, and why have someone else speak words for them? And they understand that in doing that, that a prison sentence is possible, but it's almost preposterous to think that the 6 years in prison would be given for the act of conscience that they did.
Right. Yes, it is preposterous. And another powerful thing about this to me is that too often you see people who do civil disobedience even, and then they immediately try to get out, don't take responsibility for it. And I see these people as standing up and taking responsibility for what they did and speaking to the truth. And then, in a sense, putting their lives in the hands of the jurors to see the truth and take the right step.
Well said.
So this tribunal, was this an idea that came about speaking to the fact that these issues probably aren't going to come out in court?
After the mm-hmm. judge refused to allow Nuremberg principles, the justification, defense, etc., then we decided, well, let's put the trial on outside of the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some amazing people coming. In fact, right in the due to arrive in JFK in a little while and be flown up here or to be driven up here about a 4-hour ride from New York City is Michael Meacher, a Minister of Parliament in Great Britain, formerly the Environmental Minister.
Mm-hmm.
He has broken very strongly with Tony Blair on the whole issue of the Iraq War, very critical of United States imperialist designs. He will come. He'll drive up, speak at our tribunal, and shortly after get back in the car and drive back to JFK and go back to London. So we have that sort of individual. Ray McGovern will speak after Michael Meacher, mm-hmm. and Ray McGovern spent 27 years as an FBI, or rather a CIA agent, and worked in the White House advising various presidents. And he is totally has totally rejected this war and all the violence connected with it. He will be speaking as well. Mm-hmm. Each night we'll have interesting activities that people can check out on the website. Mm-hmm. Don't suppose people from Oregon are going to jump in a plane and come here, but maybe they would have relatives or friends out east that would come, because Kathy Kelly will be here on Tuesday. You know, Kathy, founder of the Voices in the Wilderness, and the Medea Benjamin, co-founder of Global Exchange, mm-hmm. Will be here as well. And Tuesday—that's Tuesday night, the 20th of tomorrow night. We'll also be on Wednesday night. Will be Voices of Justice, and Bill Quigley will be the constitutional lawyer, along with John Boniface, who is mm-hmm. a constitutional law expert. So a whole number of professors, Columbia University, etc., coming. And then your friend Jimmy Massey. You mentioned Jimmy Massey. Mm-hmm. Jimmy will be picking him up at the airport Wednesday night, and Thursday night he will be on a Voices of the Soldiers panel, along with, and I think your listeners might know by this that Jimmy Massey is co-founder of Iraq Veterans Against the War, and also is the individual Marine who spent 12 years in the Marine Corps, but when he began to complain about genocidal acts of his platoon, including himself, he was considered to be crazy, and they drummed him out of the Corps. Mm-hmm. We have other people, Camille Mieha, a member of Iraqi Veterans Against the War, who you may remember spent a year in prison when he came back from Iraq and refused to deploy. Said he claimed to be a conscientious objector, which he eventually, did spend a year in prison. All of these people, I think, are top-flight individuals. So each night, the tribunal, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, will be here in Binghamton.
It's very impressive. I'm looking at the website as you were talking, going down the, seeing these people, and it's incredible. And do you know if any of this is getting recorded?
We have videos. Our cameras are available or online. We have reporters. We have independent media is covering it as well.
Fantastic.
Amy Goodman on Democracy Now! Had a shot today.
Good.
Yesterday, the New York Times had a major article. So the word is getting out. It's pretty difficult to move the media, but if any of the listeners would help us out, we would appreciate it by mm-hmm. having them go to stpatricks4.org. That's all one word, St. Mm-hmm. Patrick's 4. It's stpatricksfour.org. Mm-hmm. They can help us spread the word, and especially to get even more media coverage from major media, major networks, for example, mm-hmm. Here in Binghamton, New York.
All right, and they can, it runs the gamut. They can, I believe, they can also, there's a letter that folks can sign, a letter of support.
Yes.
And there's obviously people could, if they can do it, they can volunteer, they can donate, which is always important. These trials are expensive.
They surely are. Right.
And obviously, all the way down to come be part of the tribunal and go to Washington, D.C. I see that all on the website as well,
right.
On the 24th.
Right.
So this is fantastic. I will look for audio stuff on the various places on the web, independent media, and see if we can share that with folks as well. And I will, I'll check back with you all. It'd be great to get an update as things are progressing. And do you anticipate that this will be a long trial, like the first one was pretty long?
Not as long as the first one, because, there are only four defendants versus, I think even they had something like 16 after other people had a plea of guilty in the Camden 28, mm-hmm. But that was, and the judge was, again, much more willing to have them give their own particular reasons as to why they acted, and it doesn't appear that may be the case here. So it's hard to foretell, but mm-hmm. I think it'll still be going on toward the end of this week.
I'm wondering if the lawyers, the legal folks, feel that if you get a verdict somewhere along the line that you're not happy with, if this not allowing testimony about reasons for committing the act is grounds for grounds for
appeal.
I lost the word. Yes, appeal.
Yeah, I'm sure that Bill Quigley and the others will be working on that and see what happens. But
right.
I really can't, you know, speak for the. I don't have the legal expertise to comment on that. But I think you're right that that's probably going to be the case.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, everybody's a legal expert, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Jack. You're spending the time with us, and it's important. And we'll get this.
Scott, your call letters again are
KSOW.
KSOW.
And we are low power, so we right. go just to our town here. But I also will upload this information, this interview, onto a couple of independent media sites.
Great. So, okay. Well, thanks a lot, and good luck.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Jack.
Bye now.
Bye.